I invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. The message this morning was this of the prophecy and the fulfilling of our Lord Jesus being set at naught. And that subject, that word naught, is not necessarily a word that we use in our culture today. It speaks about, its definition is that to make utterly nothing of, to despise, or to view something as contemptible or despise it, to esteem it very, very little. Our Lord Jesus was set at naught for our sakes, and we're thankful for that. We praise his name for being willing to do so. We should have been set at naught, but he was so for us, and we praise his name for that. In Luke chapter 6, we see something here regarding this subject, and we want to delve into that now as it relates to us living as we live as the children of the Lord. In Luke chapter 6, verse number 20 through 23, Luke 6, the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 6, verse number 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." So the Lord Jesus tells us, he told, and it came to pass with him himself being set at naught. But then he makes a promise unto us that it could very well be that we would be set at naught also. And there's a whole realm of how that can be, and we understand and expect it that it could certainly be so from the world, because the world just does not understand the Lord, does not understand the way of the Lord. Those that obey the Lord and his word and his way are a continual rebuke unto a lost and dying world. And so we have expectation that can be that way, and we understand that. None of us desires it. None of us wants it. But the Lord warns us and tells us about many things that we might know them in advance, and that we might have confidence in him and that he will help us. But then there's a thing that it's a very sad thing when this happens even amongst our own. And these words have rung out to me for quite some time. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company. From their company. You know, everybody that's saved by the Lord Jesus Christ is our brother and our sister. And those that are in the Lord's churches are our brothers and sisters, and we share that commonality of being Baptists. I'm afraid to say that at sometimes, and I'm not accusatory in this, understand these messages and this position is not accusatory, it's a warning. Because I'm greatly grieved by some of the things that I see amongst brethren in this separation of company. There's so many things there's the things that make us Baptists, foundational Baptist doctrine that determines whether we are Baptist or not. And what a shame it is for Baptists that agree on such doctrine and are Baptists indeed, but have some strife or some conflict between them to where they separate themselves from one another's company. Not only are we Baptists and agree foundationally about what being a Baptist is, but let us not forget the first part of that is that we are brethren. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's a great detriment to the family of God for us to set ourselves apart from one another's company. It's a great detriment to the churches of the Lord for us to set ourselves apart from one another's company. Now, understand that there are things that come about doctrinally and in regards to sin and iniquity that we do have to withdraw ourselves. But really, these messages and this message going forward is more so about let us be warned and let us be guarded about what happens in our hearts. Okay? Because we may have a church that we might have to break fellowship with. That's happened before here. Generally, that only happens in my short time pastoring and the history of the church here. That happens in regards to receiving disciplined members. Sometimes there's been some other things, but that kind of really, when the discipline of a church is not upheld, then that creates a strife because the discipline and the desire to bring that individual back into the fold and for them to see the error of their way is short-circuited by another church taking them. There are some times where things are done that are overboard on the part of a church. We have to be very, very careful when we deal with that kind of thing. But sometimes that can happen. We're foolish to think that it might not happen, where a church might do something that they shouldn't. That it can happen. And if we're ever engaged in such a thing, we need to deal with it well. But what a sad, sad thing when churches, brethren, brothers and sisters separate one another from their company. And what can happen is we always need to in the withdrawal of fellowship, that of disciplining of a church member, or these things that cause us to have to be separated from physically. So there's or removing from the membership of a church, say, in discipline, we need to not let a despising of that person or that church or that pastor come to our hearts where we despise the person and set them at naught in our hearts. Again, my message is not accusatory towards you or any of the membership here. My messages are a warning. Because I see this out there, and I don't want us to be subject to it. Jesus tells us that this will happen to us. It may be that when a church takes a stand that's not convention. You know, we need to realize and operate that and know that we operate by conviction and leadership of the Lord in His Word. We don't operate by consensus of what all the churches say or what all the brethren say. What we need to operate by is what the Lord says and what the Lord would have us to do. It's not a polling thing. We do operate by consensus in some things in the church, but then the more gravity a thing brings, we operate and agree by agreement and by voting and by putting forth our conviction about the matter. But our consensus and what we believe here at Olmsted Baptist Church is not determinant upon what any other Baptist church believes. It's what the Lord would have us to do. Sometimes a church might go away and go a path that might bring heartburn to our brethren. Now, that's not a typical thing, but sometimes it is. There's a handful of things that I'm in my lifetime and what I've seen. There's just about a handful of things that bring strife like this into churches and to saints and individuals in churches that cause division. And it shouldn't, from the standpoint of fellowship and our relationship one to another. We might not be able to agree on a thing to walk together in it, but we don't need to allow that disagreement, the conviction that one might have this way and the conviction that one would have or another way. We don't need to let that come to our hearts and it be a despising and a setting at naught of our brethren, because they are our brethren. They are our sisters. They are our sister churches. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. Our Lord promises about our reward. And understand, he says, when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you. And yet have you've maybe heard that kind of thing where someone would be reproached by another person that claims to be a child of God. Reproach. We should never have reproach for one another in the way that this is speaking about. We should never cast one another's name out as evil. And that's the kind of thing that I am hearing and that I'm seeing and that I want us to be guarded against, that we don't ever succumb to such an attitude. The scripture tells us, and the Lord Jesus tells us, that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Do you realize that you and I are facing that kind of thing? Iniquity is on the increase in our society. What's going to happen to my and your love with legs on it? Our love one for another, our love for the Lord, our love for the ministry and the work of God that we've been called to, our love to the church that we're a member of. Are we going to stray away from that, or are we going to be drawn closer to it? Iniquity is abounding. I mean, we've got iniquity abounding today on about every front that you can point to. And what it can cause you and I, if we succumb to it, what it can cause you and I to do is to withdraw even from one another. I'm not angry. I'm not angry at all. As your pastor, I just give us all that warning. To withdraw into ourselves is not a good thing. Jesus tells us that this will happen to us, but we should never be party in doing it to anyone else. Now, understand, that's tough. That's tough for some to delineate, is that, well, we got to stand for the truth of the Lord. Yes. And when there's sin and iniquity in the church, do we allow that to pass? Well, as it's defined, where it breaks fellowship, no, we've got to deal with that well. But even in, like, for the example, that of church discipline, we love that person. We want that person back. We want them to be restored and not have a situation where we despise them. Let us no ever go the route that we despise them in our hearts. In Romans chapter 14, we see here a passage, and we've covered this in more recent times. And so let's read here about this. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Okay, not to confusion, but to solid things, to good things. For one believeth that he may eat all things. And so he's talking to the church at Rome, particularly about the eating of flesh that has been sacrificed to idols. Okay. One believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Okay. And of course, this is a thing that before the Lord is neutral, the eating of this particular thing. But you know what? There may be things, and there are things that are not neutral from the standpoint of what the conviction of an individual is. And we may have conviction about some things, not the things that make us Baptists, but we may have conviction about some things. And then if we have brothers and sisters that don't join us in that, let us not go the route of despising them. They are our brethren. If we do and are convicted, the things we have before us as a church, we need to seek individual conviction of the Lord and leadership of the Lord about where we're at with those things. In the example here, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And that's that setting at naught, to think of no value. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. And again, understand this judging. I think this is reinforced even more and more. Two facets of judging. We make judgments about what we get from the Word of God and how we're going to apply that to our life. And one brother may pursue this thing and hold to that. It depends on our background, what the Lord has taught us, what we believe we've learned from the Word of God, our experiences, our past, all that thing enters into it. But one brother or sister is just not there. They don't agree. They think that there's not what this one thinks. Well, neither should despise one another over it. We should not despise one another over it. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth judge him that eateth. This judging here, it's not talking about the judgment that you made about the conviction that you have before the Lord, but this of persecuting one another. We are not called to be a persecutor of one another. The judge stands to determine the truth. And then the judge stands to determine the penalty if necessary. We are all called to try to find what the truth of the Lord is and walk with him in agreement. But we are not the persecutors, the executors of that part of judgment. And therein is the misunderstanding. Judge not that you be not judged. It doesn't mean that you just go live and let live. I mean, there's an aspect of live and let live that we give one another room to grow, to learn, to understand, and to be convicted, to be a witness to one another. If I'm, and to my shame, I have a guilt in this regard to put pressure upon others about what I believe, and to put an undue pressure upon folks to try to persuade them to be like me. No, I need to follow what the Lord has given me to do, and not, I can't convict anybody. I can only live what I've been convicted of. And same thing for you. And then when there is that disagreement, when there's not an agreement on a topic, we need to be charitable one to another. And again, that's not let that not be misunderstood, that we can't stand, because we should stand in what our Lord has given us. There's so much that is very plain that he has given us. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. And I believe that's talking about that persecution, that a vengeance in it. For God hath received him. See, it doesn't make him not our brother. It doesn't make her not our sister. We got to remember that. And I think it's easy for that to be forgotten. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Again, not about determining from the Lord. And see, what you and I are convicted about, we're convicted of ourselves and what the Lord has taught us, what we've learned, what we have conviction to him about. And listen, if we're convicted in a thing, do we not want it for somebody else? Sure. We want it. In our homes and our families, we teach, the parents teach what they're convicted of to their children. That just happens. That's normal. That's right. That's the way that it works. Children may have to obey that for a time, but it may turn out in time they may not be convicted of it. Well, Brother Jim, what's right and what's wrong? Yeah, that's it. We've all got to make sure that what we do and pursue is right. Because, see, all of us stand individually before the judge. So nobody's off the hook about what's right. But we can't inflict what we're convicted of upon another. Okay? And it's, this is one of those prickly subjects that's difficult to deal with and more difficult to explain. But it is necessary that we try and that we understand it. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. It's not up to me to punish him if he doesn't agree with me. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. I've always got to keep in mind that in my convictions, I may be wrong. Now, oh, Brother Jim, that just casts doubt. It's like we can never find out. No, we can find out. And that's, we're to pursue to understand the Word of God and have conviction of the Holy Spirit of God on where we stand about things. It's a pursuit. It's a gravity. It's a responsibility. And it's not just willy-nilly. And it's serious. It's serious business about every piece of life, every whit of our conversation. But see, whether we agree or do not agree, and again, I'm not talking about Baptist distinctives. I'm talking about the other things of life, other things that we face and deal with in our culture, in life, what the Lord teaches us. Because they don't agree with me doesn't take and nix them as the Lord's child. It doesn't unravel that. They are still the Lord's child. I always need to remember that they are my sibling in Christ. But see, that's what happens when, that's what's happening. It's happening even more. And maybe I'm just sensitive to it more, but it seems like it's happening more. Here as we come to these latter days, when there's a difference, there's a difference and a clash about even, not Baptist distinctives, but just operational things. There's a clash, and then there's just a blowing up and a setting at naught. You are now, you've heard the phrase in our vernacular, you are now dead to me. That should not be with the children of God. Never, never, never. How can we be a witness of what we are convicted of what's right if we are not around our brethren? Because you realize that you and I, we're witnesses to one another, aren't we? Don't we witness to the unsaved? And don't we witness to one another about the things that we believe and are convicted of in the Word of God? We do. We do. And if we can't be around one another, then how can we be a witness of the things that are true that we believe that we have? Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. And understand, this is coming from the Jewish perspective. Paul would never say the heathen holidays of the Romans and the Greeks, you can take them or leave them. He would never do that. It's relative to the Jewish holidays, the allowed Jewish holidays that would be relevant even into the Greeks or not. And so, or to the Jews mainly, really. And so understand, like, the Passover is given. Again, I've said this a lot lately, but the Passover is given to the Jews forever. Okay? But to we Gentiles, it's not. To observe the Passover, not saying that salvation is in that, but it's representative of Christ who came, the Jew can rejoice in that. But you and I who are Gentiles, we have no place with it. Some would receive that maybe as Jews. Some would go ahead and lay it all down. Another of Jews, they might still go ahead and refrain from eating pork. It's been opened up. But let not the brother that's, you know, Peter, once he understood it, that, and, you know, would go to a barbecue roast with no problem. But don't despise the brother that's still got problems with that. Don't beat him up over it as an example. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another man esteemeth every day alike. Here's one. Brother Doug has brought it out in his study on 1 Samuel. And this feast of the new moon. When the new moon came about, they evidently had a celebration. Might have lasted for a couple days. It's wrong if it's worshiping the sun and the cycle of the body celestial. It's right if it's worship of God in him giving another month. And so, some might continue with that. Some might not. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And that's what we need. We need persuasion, conviction from the Lord. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, this is another example, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord. And he that, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. If we don't handle well our conflicts, will have an impact negative towards our brethren or even towards our sister churches. But if we do handle our conflicts and our disagreements well, we will, and charitably, we will have a good witness and a testimony of being Christ. Oh, understand, it's hard work. It's hard work. See, sometimes it's just easier just to draw a line right here and then let that be it. Then that makes it easy. And then just, you're just never going to go past that. And with some things, maybe we have to do that. But then let's make sure that we should. Because we don't live to ourselves and we don't die to ourselves. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or whether we or die, we are the Lord's. They are the Lord's. We are the Lord's, brethren, whether they be Baptists or not. If they're not a Baptist, and they're, but they're saved, we can fellowship with them at that level if we're brethren. Brother Jim, don't say that Brother Jim's just thinking about letting everybody in the church. No, if they're saved and they want to come and join the church in the way that we've just reviewed that we're to hold and the Lord's given us, then that's great. But if not, they're not going to be part of the church. But if they are saved, they have the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they are our brother and sister in Christ. And we need to treat them as such. We can have the temptation. I'll just speak personally. We can have the temptation. I have had the temptation to treat somebody that's not a Baptist who gives a testimony of being saved and treat them as second class. Treat them like I really don't trust them. Like, are you really sure that that's what's going on? And now we do have to be understanding about what constitutes salvation and that if they're trusting in their organization or trusting in a baptism or something like that, we have to be wary of that. But if they are trusting the Savior and have repented and trusted in Him and His death, burial, and resurrection for them, then they are our brother. And we need to operate with them as such. Now, we can't have church kind of fellowship, but we can sure have fellowship as a brother and sister in Christ. We are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and living. And He's brought us to life. You know, it's a big statement. I mean, it's the greatest thing to consider that a soul has been saved and thereby placed in the family of God. Going from being an alien to becoming a child. We need to operate on that. They are my sibling. They are my sibling. And we need to remember that. We need to know that. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Verse 10. And again, I think this is the facet of judgment here is not looking on. We look on and we say, well, what my brother, what my sister does, I'm not convicted of that. I disagree with that. Here's what I hold to. It's not talking about that. We've all got to be convinced in our own minds, in our own hearts. But the judging is we disagree. And now I'm your adversary. I'm against you. Maybe even to the point of that we could be tempted at times, depending on what the subject is, to put them at naught. It is sad. I say this every couple years. It is sad when brethren and sisters, and of course we've had this COVID thing, but when we didn't have that, it's sad when brothers and sisters in Christ, it hurts the heart of a pastor to see them not shake hands and not fellowship one with another as they pass by one another. It's a grief to the pastor because we are brothers and sisters. We are fellow heirs. We are in the Lord's body. And they pass by and don't even give one another a glance. And the pastor thinks, wonder what kind of grudge or issue is there. And prays for the situation, because that should not be. It should not be. We're going to glory together. And should we treat one another like that? And again, I'm not talking about the COVID thing. But that happens, and it's a grief. That's that judging. I'm withdrawing myself from you because of offense, because of hard words, because of this. Maybe there needs to be some confessing. Maybe there needs to be some repenting. Maybe there needs to be some asking for forgiveness, whatever it is. But may we seek it, because we're in the same family. You know, what is it about siblings? They fight and they scrap and they carry on. I don't have any siblings in the flesh. But it's very, really, really rare when siblings check out on each other, isn't it? That's what I understand. Because they may scrap and fight and just beat each other and chew one another up. But you let somebody come in and mess with them, then they're all there together, confederate. That's the way it needs to be with us, and not in that sense of a brawl. But that's what we need to be willing. And we'll read a passage about that here in a moment. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Again, towards persecution, towards setting at naught. Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? There it's very clear, isn't it? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for our conviction, for what we do and what we pursue, and how we treat one another. How we treat our sister churches. How we treat our brothers and sisters. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God, even in these things that we're speaking about. And so may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us that we understand about this, and that we not in our hearts, even in our hearts, look to set at naught anyone that's our brother or sister. That churches would not set one another at naught for not Baptist foundational issues. That's a whole different zip code. But for things that are peripheral, it's not to say that they're not serious, but things that have to be dealt with in life and that there's different conviction about. May we be charitable one to another. I want to close with 1 Peter 3, just a few verses here. And here's what we're called to. We're called to this always in 1 Peter 3, verse number 8. The apostle writes, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil. I may have not done well. Don't return the same. It's Christ-like to rather be compassionate, or railing for railing, but contrary-wise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they may speak no guile, no deceit. Let him eschew evil, verse 11, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Setting at naught. May the Lord help us with his word.